The goal kicking. I've got the goal kicking for you. After six matches, Nick Saunton is sitting on top with 31. James Podyadley, 22. Matthew Liddell, 22. Patrick Rose, 18. Chris Bryan, 16. Marty Pask, 15. And Josh Smith, 14. And then there's a few on 13, a few on 12.
Liam Shields will be the youngest player to make his AFL debut this season.
Okay.
The 18-year-old from the Eastern Rangers. He's been selected in the Hawthorn lineup.
Good morning to Chris Weaver. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Jim. Morning, Kane.
Big game, though, this afternoon, mate. Two traditional rivals in the AFL sense, the Northern Bulldogs versus Collingwood. Collingwood have definitely improved, but the Bulldogs seem to be, apart from Williamstown, one of the form teams in the competition.
They are. They've got good run at the moment. I thought during the break they might have lost out a bit with having Mitch Robinson and Richard Hadley go up to the Carlton AFL side. But as it happens last week, they found some new players to take hold of the ball off half-back and give them some drive. Werribee were very loose, I thought, last week when they played against them. Unaccountable at the stoppages, gave them a lot of space. But Andre Gianfagna and Sean Grigg were both very good last week. Yakabuchi got a bit of the ball early on, and they're flying at the moment.
And how you seeing the competition in general? We saw a strong performance by Williamstown, which I think has put a big gap between them and the rest at the moment. But do you think Williamstown will come back to the field at all, or the year of redemption for the Seagulls might be just too strong for teams like North Ballarat and also Port Melbourne?
I think they're probably the standout side at the moment. I mean, they had a good run at the moment with injuries. It helps as well. I tend to be of the school, though, that believes that there's a lot to play for Williamstown this year. Since the start of the year, they're our premiership favourites. I think we'll be talking in a few months' time as them as still being the premiership favourites. But, look, a lot depends on the injuries, and they've had a good run so far.
Have you had a bet on the premiership odds yet, on Sportsbet?
No, I haven't, mate.
I haven't had a look at the... I don't think they've changed, have they? I'm not too sure. Williamstown would...
I doubt they would have changed too much. I'm not sure it's the biggest plunging market.
Well, yeah, last time I checked, it was Williamstown at $2.80 for any one.
Well, if you put your $10 on, they'll plummet to $1.40.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about the interest in it, but Sportsbet are getting behind VFLfooty.com. I read on the website, so that's good. And, yeah, people interested in the VFL can have a bet. I wonder if they'll introduce maybe the ABC game of the day on Sportsbet as well and have some margin betting and different things down the track. But I'm not too sure how the VFL will look upon that gambling on a state-level competition.
No.
I don't think it would generate too much interest.
Probably not a hell of a lot, but I suppose if you're interested, Master, that's there.
And, I've been a little bit caught today, mate. I must admit, it's been a interesting start to the day. The computers haven't been working, and I think I'm kind of glad I'm having the day off because I think I might be a little bit jinxed this week. It's been an interesting week, but I'll be joining you tomorrow for Coburg versus Werribee and the Tigers versus the Tigers. But I guess you're glad you're not going to Casey Fields this weekend.
Hey,
are you glad you're not going to Casey Fields?
Probably good that we've got the Coburg game tomorrow, I think. I think it'll be a good clash. Werribee season on the line, so expecting them to be pretty fired up tomorrow.
And I know Jim is a pleasant reader of your tips. What's he tipped the margin there, Jimbo?
Tigers by 27, Coburg.
Coburg, Tigers by 27.
Should have just put Tigers by 27, then you had a bob each way.
Yeah, I don't think it quite works like that, though, Jimbo.
No.
Well, he doesn't like to sit on the fence, Chris, you know. But, he leaves that to me.
Yeah. Well, Coburg should lose this game, and Werribee can't win games, so the way it's going to go is Coburg will probably lose rather than Werribee winning.
Well, you know what I'm like, Kane. Sometimes I feel like making a big call, sometimes I don't. Depends what mood I'm in at the time, you know. Someone asks me for a big tip, I give them a big tip. If they say, just for example here,
Here we go.
Don't read too much into it. But if someone says to me, though, Chris, here's your tip for the list of metal or something, I'll make a tip.
We don't need to go there, do we?
Go where?
To your tip for the list. And I haven't actually had one. I haven't actually given a tag to anybody yet, so I'm safe.
Oh, are you now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I haven't tipped anyone, have I? I haven't said that.
No, you've enjoyed my ruminations, that's all.
Well, if I had to choose one right now, I'd probably say Guy O'Keefe from Williamstown would have to be leading the competition, I'd imagine.
Playing some good footy, isn't he?
He is.
I sort of remember back in round two against Collingwood, he was easily best of field that day. Yeah, it's hard to know with Williamstown. I mean, they share it around so much. Patrick Rose and Matthew Little, their two medium-sized forwards, are also in contention with some very consistent displays there.
I think one thing that helps with a player like Guy O'Keefe, he gets so much of the football in packs and around the stoppages, so he's always seen by the umpires and constantly, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over either. So and when you're clean by disposal, you can really stand out in this competition.
Yeah, and I think the same goes for a couple of those boys at North Ballarat as well at the moment. Perhaps not quite as clean with disposal, but Tom Roach around the packs gets a lot of it too.
Yeah, Roach was a bit of a favourite going into last year, but didn't poll many votes. So I don't know if how the umpires view his contribution to the North Ballarat. But there's a variety of players in good form. I mean, even Bellow, to a certain extent, at Box Hill, or Stevie Kenner's getting plenty of the footy. So they're playing good football. So the listen will be definitely an interesting affair later on in the season. Well, Disco, you're going to have plenty to talk about at 1 o'clock, so we might let you go this morning. You can go back to bed or enjoy your breakfast, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow at the football.
No, looking forward to it. We've got Tristan Fernandez this afternoon, so make sure that he's ready and firing to go.
Well, Tristan's already called through this morning, so everything's right to go, mate. Everyone's firing up for a big weekend of VFL action.
Good stuff.
All right, mate. Catch you tomorrow.
Okay.
See you this afternoon.
Yep. See you later.
Bye.
So there's Chris Weaver, we call him Disco, joining us on the Saturday morning VFL football show. That was a interesting guest you lined up there for us, Jim.
It was better than nothing.
No. Now, I have got some final AFL selections here, so we can confirm some of the players who might be available in the VFL this weekend. For the Box Hill Hawks, Bo Dowler has been dropped, so he'll be playing. He might go over as the 23rd man to Adelaide, but he's been dropped. The other two players are injured there in Stokes and Moss, Dew and Xavier Ellis in the Hawthorn lineup there, with that player I was mentioning before we spoke to Chris, Liam Shields from the Eastern Rangers. So good luck to him. For the Bendigo Bombers, Skipworth and McVeigh come in, and Dempsey and Lovett Murray go out there. And for the Cats, Nathan Jacura, he gets his start, so yep. Congratulations to him. It's been a long time coming for Nathan Jacura. I think he started as a rookie-listed player back in the day and made his way through the senior list. Pacey might play in the midfield or on the half-back line, I'd imagine. Stokes and Chapman out there with a finger injury. So that's just some of the names there. Ben Cousins, Will Thursfield and Jack Riewoldt are in for the Tigers, and Dan Connors and Mark Coughlin has been rested this weekend. So interesting there. The long flight could cause some problems, so they're definitely trying to ease him through the season. But the tour continues with the Richmond Football Club, doesn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it certainly does, for all the wrong reasons, bro.
Yeah, the footy show was interesting on Thursday night for a couple of reasons.
I didn't actually see it, so...
Oh, okay.
Yep, so enlighten us.
Well, Matthew Richardson... you're a little bit angry towards Craig Hutchison, which you'd imagine. I'm actually on the same standing as Richo. I don't agree with a lot of things Craig Hutchison does in terms of the way he presents the AFL. He's looking to always slander it.
Yep.
He brings it into more disrepute than actually promoting it. Anyone can sit there and walk around with a camera and use your contacts to get stories, which is fine. But how about writing something that promotes the game? And, I know that he's involved with many, he's got fingers in many pies, Craig Hutchison, and a lot of the things he does do promotes the game. But just sometimes with such a media presence, he's got to be careful the way he goes about his things. And you could tell by Richo. And, I mean, Riewoldt, obviously probably heard something off air more than anything, because he took a stand to Hutchison where Richardson wanted to discuss it off air. So I don't know what actually happened from that. I didn't read any of the papers yesterday, but...
Can a player be rubbed out for hitting a commentator?
No, but you, knowing Hutchison, you'd probably get an assault charge against
probably.
Him. Probably. So, it's been confirmed. Terry Wallace will not be coaching anywhere next year.
Okay.
So, will this
what
be...
What about after next week?
Will this be the last weekend of Terry Wallace? I mean, will Richmond really have to look for the future? Do they go with a temporary sort of caretaker coach to the end of the season, then go out and, you know, try and find someone? Or do they, try and find someone now and then relieve Terry Wallace of his duties? What would you think would be the best option? We've seen it go a few different ways before.
Yeah, well, I'm biased, and I've lived through the history of Richmond sacking coaches the drop of a hat. Personally, I'd rather them see give Terry Wallace the rest of the year, coach him the rest of the year. I don't want to see him sacked. I mean, we've been down that path before with Richmond coaches, and it never has been successful. Sacking coaches is one of the worst things that can happen in football, personally. I'd rather see the coach out the rest of the year and just finish off the year on a high.
This is where you need a strong football manager in place, someone to give the club direction. That's what they've probably been lacking. And do you start looking at players like Joel Bowden and Nathan Brown and putting a circle around these players' name and giving someone like Jared Oakley-Nichols a chance to really, give him 10 games? Because, I mean, if you were to come in and look at that list, the three emergencies, Jordan McMahon, Jared Oakley-Nichols and Adam Thompson, you'd imagine would come pretty much under the microscope. And Jordan McMahon probably hasn't had the season he did last year, and he'd want to get his boots on to really find some form to keep his spot on the list. But, you know, Jared Oakley-Nichols, as we found out through the coverage this year, Jim, was a top 10 draft pick back in 2005, so... You know, it's a big chance for the Richmond Football Club to try and find the next players that can step in and fill the hole of Matthew Richardson and a Nathan Brown. Like, they're going to take some risks, but would Terry Wallace do that? I don't know. He's probably the best man to try and develop some of the players because he spent 5 years with them.
Well, Hawthorn was very successful playing players of a lesser note, only to see him prosper and end up winning the grand final. That was very successful. Geelong did it over a series of years when they played their younger players in, and gave them game time, and it was successful. So you give these younger players game time, you don't know what's going to happen. But I personally don't think you give someone 50 games and then sack them on the spot. You keep playing them until they give you rewards like a grand final victory.
Well, everything was just looking so promising for the Richmond Football Club at the start of the season. That's where the disappointing thing, that's where the bitter taste left in your mouth. Even if you aren't a Richmond supporter, you were expecting better things from the Richmond Football Club. The way they finished off the season and then the momentum built during the pre-season, the recruitment of Ben Cousins, some people see that as...
I've got a feeling Richmond had run their race before the season had even started.
Well,
I reckon once they got to the Carlton Richmond clash at round one, the season was over.
They've done enough.
They've done everything possible that they could do for that year. And when Cousins went down with his hamstring injury, that was a case of, the season's finished. But, 1-8 after 9 rounds isn't a good result, considering they were... along with Carlton, they were supposed to be the big improvers for the year.
Before we stop talking about the AFL, we don't like to do this on the program, but, I mean, everyone's talking about it, and, it's just interesting that there seems to be further developments every single day on it. It's a constant... wonder if Craig Hutchison's got a tent sitting just at the front of Punt Road and everyone walks in, he's trying to get some news.
You never know.
But it's definitely been... on the topic for everybody talking about football this weekend and the last few. One thing that Richmond might want to do is just to just end it. See you later, Terry. Thanks for the time. And just close it and move on. But we'll see what happens there. With interest, as everybody will be, the happenings at Punt Road. Supercoach.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you the reins of my team yesterday.
Yep. And I think you benefited from it.
Okay, what did you do to my team? Because I haven't actually checked it yet.
I just changed your defenders.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't do anything drastic to you. I changed one player in your dream team.
Yep.
Coughlin was rested, so I bit the bullet. I thought to myself, well, Jackson Barham's not doing anything.
Yep.
Traded him out, put Bo Mustin in for you.
Okay.
You've now got Bo Mustin playing as you got 22 players playing.
Fantastic.
And I think you might win. I don't think you would have lost not playing 22.
So that's the Toyota dream team. I've got teams in both.
Yep.
The
clubs. The big move was last week in the Sportal dream team team base thing. I gave you a 300 position head start, and now we're leading you by 3.
Did I have a bad weekend?
You didn't have a bad weekend. I had a super weekend.
Oh, okay.
I jumped from 300 and something to 47th.
So I've gone backwards.
I think you're 50th or something. I might be 67th. I've got a 7 in my number, and you've got a 0 in your number, and I'm 3 ahead of you.
All right, so yeah, we've got
that's dream overall. Teams. That's overall too.
We've got dream teams everywhere, but Supercoach, it's me versus you. And
yep. Yep, you're leading at the moment. You've used 4 players. I've used 2.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So I think 11 players each that have. It's familiar to both teams.
Oh, okay.
So you've used 4 new unique players. I've used 2 unique players.
Ooh.
So I'll probably...
How did Gibbs go last night?
Not very good.
Oh.
92, I think he got.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah. Jordan Russell let you down. He got 48 or something.
Yeah, he's on the chopping block. I've had more trades.
Daniel
left.
Kerr was absolutely flying. Then in the second half, he stopped to a walk. So he let you down.
Oh, so you're a bit confident of knocking me over.
Happy to be in the position I'm in at the moment.
Okay. We'll have to watch for that with interest.
Yep. Judd did all right for me, and also Cox did all right for me. Cox was head-to-head with Cruiser and knocked him off by a heap of points. Cruiser gave Dean Cox an absolute hiding in the first half. Cox came back in junk time. Yeah, Brendan Favola did all right, kicked 6 goals and scored very well.
So the big Fev, yeah, he's amongst it. Won by 41 points, the Blues. Let's take it back to the VFL before our listener base turns over, because they can talk enough AFL or listen to a different program for the AFL. This is the VFL Footy Show. We've still got about 15 minutes left in the program. And let's go through round 8 and get your tips and thoughts on the big round of VFL action. The Burra versus the Box Hill Hawks. ABC going back to Port Melbourne once again.
Yeah, they like it, don't they? And I think they're back there next week.
They just can't leave the place alone. Maybe it's because they've got all that permanent fixturing there. It's just easier for them. But,
yep. And it's just down the road.
Unless Port Melbourne have a big viewing base, I'm not too sure. Yep. But they definitely attract Phil Cleary. We know he loves Gary Ayres.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of man love going on between them too. So that's probably one of the reasons why you'd go there. But in terms of TV coverage, you would have thought the Northern Bulldogs Collingwood game, which is... what's that? Collingwood versus...
Carlton.
Collingwood versus Northern Bulldogs. That's 8 versus 3rd. Now, I guess, 5th versus 6th is not bad either. The Box Hill Hawks should get up, you'd imagine, in their good form. A couple of changes there to their line-up, but Dowler coming back in adds some height and been impressed by Lyle at centre-half forward, who's a Kenner. So they've got some good players. And Port Melbourne would really need to turn it around. One thing you'd have to, when you look back through the history for Port Melbourne, especially under Gary Ayres' reign, is their ability to bounce back. They don't generally put in too bad performances. And you'd think Port Melbourne would have been very disappointed with their performance against traditional rivals Williamstown. They might come out with vengeance, but they need to get their big men working better. If you're going to go in with McLaren, DeLuca, Boyes and Bonadio, they need to try and get someone at the feet of these players who can... get the football on the ground and kick goals. They're missing Robin Nahas. Obviously, he's a big loss to their forward line, but he kicked 50 goals, but it was the forward line pressure and his ability to keep the ball alive and the pressure on his defenders that allowed players like Bonadio and McLaren at times to feature in the forward line. Christopher Kane, I think, is playing out of position. They should play him on the half-forward flank because he's got such a penetrating kick. He can get the ball inside forward 50 pretty well and fine. Bonadio will kick the odd goal himself. David Pitt playing in the twos. You might see him get a run this afternoon because he's one of those flamboyant footballers who can kick 2 or 3 goals out of nothing and be the difference in the margin in the end. So who do you think's going to win?
Box Hill should win. Port Melbourne, in the last seven times they've clashed against each other, 5-2 in favour of Port Melbourne. How's this for an average score? Average score, Port Melbourne, 15-13-103. Box Hill's average score, 11-11-77. Their highest score in seven clashes is 15-6-96. That is a very low high score, where Port Melbourne's high score, 21-19-145.
Well, Box Hill are a different team, though, in 2009.
So exactly. They've improved, and I think Port Melbourne have dropped back a rung or two.
I mean, they kicked 23 goals last weekend at home, so I think that form will continue to beat Port Melbourne.
Yep. Last time they played, 21-14-140. Port Melbourne defeated Box Hill 13-14-92. 48-point win to Port Melbourne last time they clashed.
Collingwood versus the Northern Bullants. We spoke about the Bullants with Chris. They continue to play good football. A couple of better names in that senior lineup for the Collingwood VFL side. McCarthy returning from injury looks like there. Collingwood haven't actually formalised their list yet for the Sunday game, so we'll have to wait this afternoon to see who will actually make the final cut-off. The twilight game on Sunday has Collingwood not choosing their teams like everybody else, so, and neither is Port Adelaide, so we'll have to wait with interest. Well, they play very well at Visy Park. They kick the ball in long to Bryan. McCaffer is in the forward line as well, so be interesting to see how they go this afternoon. These conditions might suit Pies. Rowan Frost continues to impress. Damien Preville back in the lineup. Who's your tip?
Bullants to win easily. They're in blistering form this year. I think they'll benefit from Hadley and Yaron coming back. And the Bullants have, in the 2 years that Collingwood have been in existence as Collingwood, they 0-2 against the Bullants, who've won comfortably on both occasions, 51 points and 75 points victors in the last two encounters.
Richard Hadley would have to be one of the most unluckiest footballers at the moment. I don't think he's done anything wrong.
No, didn't do anything wrong last week.
He just can't keep his name in the senior lineup. Going on to Sunday football, make sure you tune in from 1 o'clock for the Coburg Tigers versus Werribee Tigers. We've gone through this in a little bit of detail. Just your tip.
Personally, I think Coburg will win, but the way Coburg lose the unlosable games, they should win this game, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Let's hope for really good weather again tomorrow at Burbank Oval. Are we seeing a preview of the 2009 VFL Grand Final? Williamstown versus the North Ballarat Roosters. Williamstown, we've really spoke about their high praises so far this morning, really have stepped up a level. This will be a big opportunity for North Ballarat playing at Williamstown to show the competition exactly where they're standing at the moment. Both teams in terrific form. Similar sort of styles of play. We have plenty of run off the half-back line. So it'll be interesting to see how the two most senior coaches go at it. We mentioned on the program with Adrian Dunn that Jared Fitzgerald was breaking or moving into third position at the all-time coaching record. But guess who's only two games or three games behind him?
Surprised me.
Bradley Gotch. So
you did surprise me. Yeah, yeah. He's been around for a while. He was with Dandenong back in the early 90s,
wasn't he? I've got the details here. Yeah, Jared Fitzgerald's coached 215 games, in case you're interested. 175 at North Ballarat, 21 at Port Melbourne, and 19 at Springvale. Brad Gotch's history is a little bit different. He's coached 212 games, 147 with Williamstown, 20 with your old mob, Dandenong, 39 with Springvale, and he coached six games for Collingwood. So,
yep. Now, was that Dandenong or Dandenong Redlegs? Because they're not the same team, according to history.
Oh, okay.
Although I reckon they are the same team, because they played at the same place, wore the same jumpers, or very much the same jumpers.
Yeah, it just says one year at Dandenong, so I'm not too... Yeah,
probably it was probably Dandenong Redlegs.
But, look, great contributors to the VFL. No one promotes their clubs better. Always happy to have a chat. You know, this is shaping up as a really good game of football. We should have really gone to Williamstown, but the conditions there can be really tricky, so that's why we haven't.
Today we wouldn't have been broadcasting if we made that decision.
No, it's hard to even tip, isn't it? Just looking at North Ballarat's lineup there, not many injuries. Good core of midfielders. You know, Corey Jones and Jacob Spalding can be very tricky at times with Josh Smith in the forward line for the Roosters.
Well, I know one thing, there won't be a close game.
Who did Chris tip?
Chris tipped. Just bear with me a moment. What I was going to say is the game will not be close. They've only had one game that's finished closer than 17 points. Chris went 4. It's over the page. Just bear with me for a second. Pages aren't moving. North Ballarat by 4 points.
He tipped the Roosters.
He did. I'm going for Williamstown. It won't be a one-sided game, but it won't be. These two teams don't play close games. So I personally think Williamstown will win running away at the end, obviously, because that's where you run away.
Yeah, I think Williamstown just as well. But we'll definitely be watching that game with interest. Just down at Casey Fields, if you've got nothing to do tomorrow, and we do have some nice weather, pop down there and support the Casey Scorpions. One of the only home games that won't be broadcasted this year. Make sure you get down there and support them against the Cats. Should be a big crowd out there with a few Geelong supporters in the area getting down there. Russell Robertson back in the Casey Scorpions lineup will definitely generate some interest. You mentioned Ricky Pattard. If you go through the Casey Scorpions lineup there, there's plenty of Melbourne-listed players. And obviously, if you're a Cats supporter, big opportunity to get there and watch some of their younger players coming through. Ryan Gamble's been named in the VFL lineup
after
there.
His face got belted with the ground.
Well, yeah, he's
he looked pretty sick last week, so he'll be all right. If they play him, he'll be okay.
So we'll see who's your tip there, the Scorpions versus the Cats.
I'll go for the home team, Casey. Geelong lead 4-3 over 7 encounters. I personally think Casey might be too good at home.
One team that do play well at Casey Field traditionally is the Cats. They like the big ground and plenty of run. It's a stronger looking lineup though for the Casey Scorpions. Starting to find that that real essence of the back line with Folks, Silvani, Pinoza and James Wall. They're the great wall of Casey. You just think the Scorpions could be too strong at home and they need a win. The forward line of Hughes, Newton, Robertson and little Jitter at their feet would probably be too strong, you'd imagine, for the Cats' young defenders. But we say that and they knocked over the Zebras last weekend, so there's a chance, but I think the Casey Scorpions will be too strong at home.
Yep. At home at Sandringham, Sandringham playing Bendigo. Sandringham lead 8-0 over the last encounters. Bendigo have not troubled the scorers at all this year and won't this week. Sandringham should win comfortably.
He's in there again.
Yep.
Listed at centre-half back. They couldn't even put him on a plane this weekend, Jimbo.
Mm-hmm.
When are they going to give our man a go? When are St Kilda going to decide, look, Matty, you've done enough. You've paid your penances.
Here's a Liston trophy for you, Matty Maguire.
Well, he's a chance at one, definitely.
Yeah.
Is he even in the not even in the emergencies?
Yeah.
Give him a go.
Yeah.
The big goose.
Yeah. It's not his fault he broke his foot last week, last year.
He's back. He's definitely back.
He has got some of the safest hands I've seen in the VFL.
There's a couple of players that are taking
I mean, Nick Thornton has got safe hands. Matt Maguire makes Nick Thornton look very ordinary.
Oh, but the thing with Maguire is he takes those big contested pack marks that everyone loves to see.
But his vice-like grip, it's unbelievable.
Sandringham versus the Bendigo Bombers at home. The Zebras need this win, and they'll be looking to bounce back. After a promising start against the Scorpions, things haven't been 100% for the Zebras. Losing by 3 points last weekend, you know, makes a big difference. They'd be looking into towards the top four, so they're definitely not out of it. And when they play their best football, they could be premiership favourites. They have the bye next weekend, so they can really go out and have a good crack against the Bendigo Bombers at Trevor Barker Oval. You just think the Zebras could win comfortably.
Mm-hmm. And good news for Frankston, they won't lose this weekend.
Oh.
Yep, they've got the bye.
You've got something against the local mob down the road.
Nah, they're okay.
Hopefully they're getting close to their 2,000 members as well. And interesting. Justin Berry suspended for 2 matches.
Well, 1. He gets the bye this week. He's still got to serve his penance.
Any other news you'd like to just go with? You've got plenty of sources you've told me today.
Not today.
Alrighty. Well, this wraps up the Round 8 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Footy Show. Make sure you tune in from 1 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday for the two big matches, our games of the day.